you know what? Bicycling events, as I was telling one of the mayors the other day, best kind of event you want to put on. Why? They're not partiers. They have to go to sleep the night before.
It's a disciplined crowd.
Yeah, and then they're too tired to go out and party the next night. So it's a really good controlled group, and then they're home the next day.
Well, that's my guest, Richard Bernardis. He puts on El Tour de Tucson, his company, Perimeter Bicycling. And he tells us how he came up with the name for his company. And during the interview, he'll describe how he's put together, I think it's 100 rides next year, his 100th organized ride, how he's raised almost $40 million over the past, is it 29 years, Richard? It's a fantastic story of bicycling, yes, but commitment to charity, commitment to a healthy lifestyle. It's a wonderful story this man shares with me tonight, and I'm happy to share it with you. And I'm Frank Peters, and you're listening to CDM Cyclist. And CDM, what does that stand for again? That says in Corona del Mar. It's a little village in the city of Newport Beach, California. And speaking of Corona del Mar, thank you. If you've clicked through from Corona del Mar today, Amy Sank at Corona del Mar today gives me a Saturday morning slot on her blog. And I'm delighted to share this interview with you today. Well, now before we get started, let's say thank you to my sponsor. That's BikeTiresDirect.com. As the name implies, bike tires and gear and apparel and bikes too, BikeTiresDirect.com. Check them out, please. Well, Richard, he has many sponsors for his events, of course. It takes a lot of sponsorship to pull off these massive bike rides. He gets as many as 10,000 riders for El Tour de Tucson. And one thought that crosses my mind is, this man's so persuasive, so committed, such a big heart. If he were to approach you for sponsorship, how could you say no? I don't know the answer to that question. He describes how he couldn't create a ride like this today. He deals with 5 different police agencies, different cities that the tour goes through, and then including unincorporated areas of the county. It's a phenomenal endeavor. He has a staff of 14 people helping him. Well, that's larger than most bicycle organizations that I know. It's a fantastic story. And let's set the tone right now. I've been in Perimeter Bicycling for over an hour already. Usually I come in, do an interview, I'm out in 45 minutes. But Richard, he's walked me around, given me a tour, but the tour has definitely a personal side to it. He's introducing everyone in the company to me. I came home and joked. He treated me as if I were the publisher of the New York Times, a gracious man, and you know, the shadow of the leader effect, it'd be no surprise that the people that work for this man just were wonderful, cordial, seemed so pleased to meet me. And just about the time that it's time for the interview, in walk a couple of Tucson cops, and they're joking and fooling around, and you can tell they've been in before, and you can tell, too, that they're well-received and that there's a mutual admiration at work here. So I have to tell my own little police story as we get started.
Ride with my, I do a New Year's Eve Day ride.
Oh, really?
And I've done it just twice. It's very modest. But this year I got the chief of police, and you know, that makes a big difference.
Really?
And he now sits in on all of our bike safety meetings.
That's great. So, you know, the important thing is when you're trying to develop something in a community, you want to identify the key people in the community who are bicyclists.
Right.
I mean, you'd be surprised. You might not even know if your mayor rides. And other people, like who are, Newport Beach, who are the leading business people? And I'll bet you they ride. It's out there.
I went to the little regional chamber of commerce meeting in my little neighborhood, and the first time I ever attended, and everybody in the room stands up one at a time and introduce themselves. When I say I'm a bicycle advocate and I say a few other words, they applaud me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a kick out of that.
Well, they know they need something done.
They know they need something done.
But you will be surprised. You know where my sponsorship comes from?
Mm-hmm.
My database.
Yeah.
I look at
right.
my database.
Oh, absolutely.
I look at my application, and this guy is the president of Ventana Medical. Next thing I do, I call him up, invite him to dinner. We go out, and they want to meet you. Yeah. I mean, they all want to meet the director of the Eltor.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if they're into bicycling, because they're into selling cars, they don't care about the director of Eltor. But I have billionaires, millionaires. That Eltor is filled with billions and billions of dollars. You just got to find out the heir to the Campbell Soup fortune out of Scottsdale. Oh. He rides our events.
Wow. And you have the great advantage. You've been doing it since 1983.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
1984.
Yeah, longevity, 83. So longevity certainly kind of gives you a cloud of credibility in the community.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you last long enough, you gain that credibility. What's your title here, Richard?
Well, I guess I come under three titles. The president of Perimeter Bicycling Association of America, the founder of Perimeter Bicycling Association of America, and then the executive director of all of our different bicycling events.
And how many events do you count?
Well, actually, I like to count five. One is the El Tour de Tucson, which is in our fall season. It's our biggest event. Then the Cochise County Cycling Classic, which is also in the fall, early in October. Then our two springtime rides, which is the El Tour de Mesa. It used to be called El Tour de Phoenix. Now we're changing it to El Tour de Mesa, and that's in April. And then 2 weeks after that is the Tour of the Tucson Mountains, which is, like I said, 2 weeks after the El Tour de Mesa. And then there's another event that I started, the El Tour de Mount Fuji, which is in Japan.
Oh.
And basically, the Japanese came over. They loved our events. And I went over there, started that event 4 years ago, 25 cyclists. Oh. And now they have 1,700.
Wow.
It's just this kind of concept that we promote has just kind of spread throughout Japan. They love the event. So we have a great association with the Japanese. And, of course, we just feel terrible about what's happening to our country right now.
I'll bet.
But they'll bounce back, but still the loss of over 20,000 people is just I've even bicycled through that town and that area, so I know it personally.
And then in your office, you gave me a tour, and you've got a map of Japan. What's that map show?
That map is when I bicycled the edge of Japan. At the time, I didn't know it, but afterwards, it was recognized as the first person to ever have bicycled the edge of Japan. And that was in 1981, and it was 6,235 miles, and I did it in 77 days.
Wow.
Wonderful country. Prior to that, I did the edge of the United States, continental United States, and that was done in 180 days. Which is what I intended it for, 180 days, and that was 12,092 miles.
And that got you in the Guinness Book of Records?
Yeah, both times, and I never realized that, too. I mean, I didn't do it for the record. You know, back in 78, bicycling was so different than it is today. Yeah. You know, on that entire 12,000-mile journey, I probably saw maybe 10 cyclists on the entire edge of the country.
So you were out there all by yourself.
Yeah, right? It was before spandex. You know? Actually, spandex was just coming out because I remember seeing two guys in spandex, and I looked and go, oh my gosh, you know, people are wearing those kind of things. It was like not wearing clothes. So, of course, I wore my mountaineering shorts because I was a mountaineer, and that's the way I bicycled the edge of the United States. Yeah. Today, people look at that, and they kind of laugh. They go, you wore that?
And so these long-distance rides that you did, how did you get involved with these? These are like mega events now, Richard.
Well, you mean with the events, or how did I get involved in the bicycling? The events? Well, I was a university instructor at the University of Alaska back in the 70s. Actually, helped started the first college for Eskimos, which was part of the Alaska University system was at that time called the Kuskokwim Community College. It was the first couple of years of the university. Now it's a four-year institution. And I went out there for cross-country skiing. I wanted, after graduate school, I wanted to live cross-country skiing. I didn't want to just recreate cross-country skiing. So I figured, where do you go where there's going to be snow almost all year round? And I went and lived in a place called Bethel, Alaska, which was on the Kuskokwim River, not too far from the Yukon River. And the Kuskokwim River and the Yukon River kind of formed a triangle before it went out to the Bering Sea. And it was called the Kuskokwim-Yukon Delta. And there are 67 Eskimo villages there. So my job was to bring education out to those villagers. And I did it by cross-country skis. And so cross-country skiing became a way of life. And a good friend of mine used to try and tell me about bicycling. I said, but I live in Alaska 9 months of the year. It's ice and snow and 35 degrees below zero. And he said, oh, but you love it. And he bicycled indoors every day. And I couldn't see that. I needed the outside. So one time when I went from a instructor's position to kind of like a deanship position, it was called division head at that time. I had a couple of months off. So that was in 1976. And I wanted to do something different. So I said, well, I think I'll do something different. I think I'll bicycle from Alaska to Mexico. So that was my first long distance trip. And it was amazing.
And you went by yourself?
Went by myself. Let's see. And that time, I guess it was about 35 or 34 then. I was born in 44, so whatever the difference is there. And I had a great time. I didn't know anything about bicycling. In fact, I said to the owner of the bike shop, I said, Steve, you got to give me a bicycle that's not going to give me any problems. I want no flat tires. I don't know how to fix them. I just know what a spoke is and everything. And do you know what? My first flat tire was Eureka, California.
Wow.
I had a flat tire, like four broken spokes. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, what do I do now? And here comes this young fellow, turns out to be a bicycle mechanic. And we swap stories about my adventure for him fixing my tire and everything. So I still didn't fix the tire. So every time I got a flat, it just went into a new adventure. And just met, you know, trips like that. It's all about people, people and your experiences, and had a great time. And then when I finished that trip, I said, if I ever do another trip, I'll do the edge of the United States. And then, of course, 3 years later, when I left the university, I did the edge of the United States. But on these trips, I learned more about promotion, publicity, life, education. I mean, it's the best educational experience you can have is get out on a bicycle or go climb a mountain.
What is it about the experience, you think, that makes it so educational?
Well, you know, that particular time in my life, you know, we go through different identity crises in our life. And, of course, I was in my mid-30s at that time. So I wanted to know, I was beginning to know who I was, but where do I belong? And so by traveling the edge of the United States, meeting the people, and, you know, when you travel and you meet new people, they tell you everything. It's like they're never going to see you again, so they're lifelong secrets come out. So all those things I learned in graduate and undergraduate school, I'm finally experiencing about what these people in America are going through. And so it taught me about the psychological analysis of individuals, the sociological aspect of America, the political aspect. Carter was in office at the time. The Pope had died at the time, got a new pope, and he died at the time, you know, because he was only in there a couple of months before he died. Yeah. So, and then, of course, when you're on a bicycle by yourself, you're solving the world's problems. In your head, you forget how you did it when you get there. But it's just amazing. Then those conversations.
All that time to contemplate the universe, is that what you mean?
Yeah, so there was, you know, and learning about the geographical aspect of America, which I thought I really knew, but now I know every state on the edge of the United States, and I know what the perimeter is.
Right.
But also, you know, the economic and the social aspects of the different cities and towns that I went through, the cultural aspects of the French of the Northeast to the French of the Southwest down in Louisiana, totally different. You know, and even in your black cultures and your Asian cultures all over America, there's a difference between the West Coast and the Southern coast of America than your Hispanic community. And that was the great thing. meeting all these different cultures in America instead of just reading about them. I was experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was going through a time zone in America. So it does become very educational.
And I'm getting the impression right away, you're a people person, Richard, huh?
I never thought I was. Always, yeah. I went off to Alaska to escape from everybody, but I guess you just can't. But you know what I realized, too, on that trip is that I am a teacher. I mean, my education, when I taught at UCLA, I was in the field of learning disabilities, and I loved working with people that had learning challenges. I myself had a learning challenge, yeah. You know, from being the person who was 125th. I graduated 125 out of 125 and told that I was never able to go to college. I just didn't have what it took, you know, but then eventually as my life went on, I worked hard, studied hard, graduated from UCLA, got my graduate degree from Harvard University. But all that time, it was like, I was told I couldn't do this, that I can't do this. So I turned that around and said, all those things that we tell people they can't, they can. You know, like even with the Edge of the United States, how many people told me, oh, you'll quit after 2 or 3 days. Yeah. You'll never do that. It's impossible. Well, look at today. Here we are, 2011. Look at all those things we thought we can't do. I mean, it's just the greatest thing for me to see the things that we can't and we can.
And then we're sitting in your conference room, and it is like an art gallery here. I'm surrounded by beautiful posters of all the different biking events you've done.
Yeah, well, years ago, I met both men and women, and a very good friend of mine, this woman friend of mine, which drew me to Tucson. She was an artist, and I met and got involved with the art culture. I can't paint, I can't draw, I can't sculpture, I can't do anything. I can't put on a bicycling event. But through meeting with them, I developed an innate appreciation of art. And so when I started to develop the posters, I had this idea, when we put a poster together, let's use the art form of the poster as the primary aspect of the poster.
It shows. They're
gorgeous.
And
of course, you have to. I also needed the poster to promote my sponsors. But I wanted to do it in a dignified way. So I used the art form as the primary focus, and then we put the sponsors on it. And the sponsors were promoted in such a way that it was very dignified. And because when you looked at the poster, you see the art, then you see the sponsor. And the sponsors didn't mind. They liked the art form.
They're collectible.
They
are. I'm sure they love it.
You know,
that.
I think I'm coming up to like my 95th poster because we have, I take that back. We're going to be having our 100th cycling event that we put on, and it will be the El Tour de Mesa next year in 2012. So that would be our 100th cycling event. And there's only 4 events that I haven't done a poster for. And so we'll be coming up to our 96th poster. They're fun, as you can see.
Let's talk about the business. This is your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave me a tour of your facilities here. You've got 14 employees.
14 full-time, few staff, part-time.
Wow. You're running quite an operation here.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons why we're so successful, and I define success as existing. You're still in business.
Surviving.
You know, I mean, my first 17 years, I really didn't make any money. It was just an act of love, an act of passion. What I found through El Tour, this has kind of become my educational institution. It's a way that I can help educate people. I never really considered myself a cyclist. I'm an adventurer. Cycling became my passion or a means to the end. I learned so much in those trips. And I learned that, you know, when I was at Harvard, one of my most impressive classes was the social education class. And the instructor said, you know, there's other means of education other than the Ivy League walls. That stuck with me. There's more education outside of the walls of colleges and our other institutions. And that's what El Tour and Perimeter Bicycling has become. When I was in college and taught people, particularly when I was studying about learning disabilities, I found one of a common thing that most of us have, I would say 95% of us have in America, is completing tasks. You know, all of us set out to do a task, but we don't finish it. From homework in school to ideas and ideals that we have in life, and for some reason,
it's easy to dream of them.
Yeah, it is. There's more dreamers than there are people that are accomplishing them. And so I wanted to set up something where we can develop the completion of tasks. And if you're going to set out to do 25 miles, you're going to finish it. What's going to make you finish it is the medallion you're going to get, like the Olympians get. But you had to make people feel good about your accomplishment. The other thing I saw in American education at that time, we only reinforced the top 10%. Yeah, they got the A's. Some got B's, but most people got C's and D's and F's in cases. How can anyone fail learning? I never understood that. So I was going to set up an event where you got the reinforcement that you felt good for what you finished. So people can do the 25, people can do the 50, at that time the 75 and 100 mile event, and they'd all get reinforced for just finishing. How can I give them an A or a B or a C or a D on their finishing? Because it all becomes individual. But when I sit there and watch people cross that finish line, and they're so happy when they finish their first 25 miles, you see the same expression on the Olympian who got the gold. And that's the way I wanted to make people feel. If they can feel good about their accomplishment, the rest of their life is going to feel good. And that was the power of reinforcement, is to put that into a bicycling event to make sure everyone got rewarded, not just the A's and the B people.
Richard, I can tell with the passion that you're bringing to this interview, the sponsors that you've attracted for your events, they respond favorably to this story.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, look, we have the University Medical Center. Unfortunately, after that disaster, America got to realize what a great University Medical Center we have. I mean, it's worked certainly
in Congressman Giffords.
Yeah, the Giffords situation. And I mean, that's sad, you know, that happened. But we have to come back, too. I mean, I think Tucson showed the people of America that we are a bounce-back community. We're not going to let this drag us down for what one person, the damage that one person did. But our community pulled together. It was like putting on an El Tour de Tucson the way all of our police agencies worked together. I was so proud of them for what they did, how they reacted so fast. They got our people in. They saved lives. And that our University Medical Center was the forefront in that. We were so proud of them. It's like, oh, my God, they're our title sponsor. You know, what better position we can get into. Wow. We're married to them. They like what we do. We love what they do. And so we're proud to be associated with them. But, you know, we're that way with our sponsors. You know, our sponsors become our friends. Everyone that's in this thing is doing it out of love. You know, what do they really get back? They get back the satisfaction when they pick up that newspaper that their son, their daughter, or their community member, or their wife or their husband rode El Tour de Tucson, and they did it for a charity. And that was the other thing. You know, I always wanted to put events on for charities. Every event we put on does go for the benefit of a charity. You know, over the years, I think we've raised almost, I think we're coming into our $40 million over the past 29 years. Yeah, but again, it's the people, it's the charity groups. I mean, this is like a dream that you're working in an area where you can really, truly help people of all aspects. I mean, in the El Tour, you know, we work with organizations like the Parkinson's Association, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Tinidito Children and Family Services, who gives services to people who lost someone dear in their life. And we're expanding it to other charities. So there's so many organizations. I mean, someday I would love to have 100 charities associated with this event, that this ride becomes known as Bicycling in Pursuit of a Cause. And the cause is your cause, whatever that cause may be. We're getting there, you know. And from this, I've become consultants or an advisor to other bicycling events in the country. It makes me feel good that they like our concept. Our concept is more psychological than it is physical.
Yeah.
Make people feel good about themselves. They'll do well. Teach them how to train, how to get prepared for something. And they love doing it. It's physical. Yeah. And all people my age and even younger, they're getting to experience that athletic performance that they dreamt about that they couldn't do because they got married or they had to go to work or they had to do something. So everyone is really, truly an Olympian in this case because they're going for their goal.
Now, the tour, all of these events that you're doing, you're all part, that's all part of the community here. It's a great cycling community. It's recognized by the League of American Bicyclists.
Tucson's a gold, and we're proud of that status. We're not platinum. But as I was mentioning to you, by being gold, it seems like we get more recognition because they tell everybody why we're not gold, which is good. You know, I think it's great that the League of American Bicyclists, not only do they classify you, but they tell you why you're not there. Mm-hmm. And that's your check and balance. We all need a check and balance
on this. Something to strive for.
Yeah, you get to the point where, oh, I'm the best. Well, why strive? You don't. You have to know that you can still do better. Even the platinum city. You know, Portland is a platinum city. Right. I think it's Portland and Davis and also Boulder.
Yeah.
Great cities. Smaller communities than us. Yes. But they're still, that's great what they do. Mm-hmm. We got to get more cities to just get to the bronze level. You know, the league had said that one of the reasons why they designated us to begin with on any kind of level is because of the tour. It's very important in any community. If you have a tour in your community and it starts bringing an economic impact, your political individuals are going to start looking at that and saying, economic impact. God, maybe if I fix my roads, I can get more people here. So the tour has served as an initiator to start looking at the community, to start developing it more in a bicycle-friendly community. Yeah, we have police bike patrol. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the police bike patrol started in Tucson because now there's many more police bicycle patrols around the country. You know, for 28 years now, or this will be our 29th, Tucson has been putting on this bicycling event. Five police agencies learned how to work with each other to coordinate and to develop. How do we do this together? I mean, I can't do it myself. I mean, there's 2,000 volunteers on ride day. You know, aid stations every 8 to 10 miles, food, everything's out there. But when we pull together this ride, we work with the city planners. We work with the transportation department. We work with the police department of all these different communities. We have Oro Valley. It's not just Tucson. It's Oro Valley. It's Marana. It's South Tucson, the city of Tucson, Pima County, DPS, Department of Public Safety, the Arizona Department of Transportation. It's all these organizations. We have like meetings every other month. We get together and we pull together and say,
wow, that's a big operation.
It's
you need
huge.
A big staff.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
It really is. So, you know, so the reinforcement for me has become the fact that we truly develop a credible, lovable community event. I mean, I want this event to be mine. I want it to be the community event. So hopefully it will go on after I choose to leave, whichever way it might be, the forced leaving of going on to the next world or an unforced leaving of just going on to another thing in life.
Well, probably be hard to contemplate voluntarily leaving, huh? This looks like a lot of fun you're having.
You know, it is. You know, my staff, I've been blessed. They love what they do. All of them could go out and get paid a lot more than what they're doing. Maybe this is in this economic time, maybe not. But they're all qualified individuals. A lot of them learned their job here, like myself. I never did publicity before, and I have to do publicity. You know, I learned that on my trip around the USA because Guinness told me if I want a world record, I have to get interviewed through radio stations and TV stations and newspapers. And I never called for appointment. I'd just be bicycling along, and I look, oh, there's a radio station. So I'd bicycle in and say, hey, guys, would you like to do a story on a guy who's bicycling the edge of the United States? And they said, yeah, where is he? I said, well, here I am. You know, I found that if you want media, go to them. Don't wait for them to come to you. You walk in with a bicycle, and you look like you're going on a long-distance trip. It's a story. You know, and of course the story became more and more interesting as I got further and further along my route. I mean, by the time I finished, I had Sports Illustrated and, you know, just about every newspaper in the country that wanted to hear about the rest of the story. But that gave me an introduction to a certain segment of life that I never really thought about. I mean, I was just looking for stories and getting in the newspaper to show Guinness that I really did this ride. But it turns out years later how life turns out. that was a great experience because I needed that experience to start getting promotion for these bike rides. Mm-hmm. Not for me. I don't care about promotion for myself, but the bike rides need a promotion because it brings along economic impact, media. A lot of bicycle event directors and other kind of directors, they don't do media. That's the first thing they should do before sponsorship. You can't get sponsorship unless you have media coverage.
Chicken and the egg there.
Huh? Yeah.
Sponsors want to know what the promotion plan is. Right.
But I can only say that now. I didn't know that when I first started. Right. Bicycle event direction is a tough job. More and more people are getting into it today. Most people get into it and get right out of it. It's really one. There's not that much money. We've managed to build it up. We do pay good, not well, but we pay good. At least we're paid. Most people still do it as volunteer. So we've kind of developed another form of occupation in America, bicycle event direction. I know a lot of people that are doing it now, and they love it. But it is a high burnout position. It's a tough kind of job. Fortunately, I have a staff to help me now. You know, I'm still going on. Somehow, I'm still going on.
I'm sure people in other cities, other parts of the country, come here to learn how you've succeeded at this so they can take it to their hometowns.
Yes. You know, I've worked with many organizations. People call me up and I go, oh, God. I said, I'd love to do this, but do you know my fee's $5,000 a day? And they said, oh, you get paid for what you do? You know, I say it's $5,000 a day. I do that just to chase them away because I just don't have the time. It takes a lot of time to keep this thing going. And then I fall through and say, well, okay, I'll come up. You pay for my expenses for the day. I'll fly up and give you all the knowledge you want. I mean, I love helping people, telling them how to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to decipher which ones are real serious and which ones. I mean, a lot of times after people talk to me, they go, I'm not going to do this. I have another full-time job. I can't create this, you know? But there are people like a young fellow I introduced you to before, Todd Sadow, who to me is probably the best mountain bicycling event director in America. This young man came to me when he was in college, his last year of college, 21, and he said, I'd like to do what you do, but I want to do it in mountain bicycling. And I said, you know how many times I heard this story? And I said, so many people start out and they wean out. Not this young man. I mean, he stuck to what he said. He was very diligent, very stimulated by the bicycle environment. He loved bicycling. And that's the part. He loved it. He just didn't, you know, want to do it for an entrepreneurial thing. I mean, I told him to forget that. Here he is 12 years later. Now he has 3 mountain bicycling events, and there's 1 mountain bicycling event known all over America called the 24 Hours in the Old Pueblo. He's taking that concept, and he turns an area in the desert into a mountain bicycle village for 5 days. Mm-hmm. 5,000 people from all over America come to ride on a 17-mile track around and around in circles for 24 hours. But again, there, what's it all about? They come to be with other people like them. Yeah. They're mountain bicyclists. Sure. They camp out. They share food and drink. And you know what? Bicycling events, as I was telling one of the mayors the other day, best kind of event you want to put on. Why? They're not partiers. They have to go to sleep the night before.
It's a disciplined crowd.
Yeah, and then they're too tired to go out and party the next night. So it's a really good controlled group. And then they're home the next day. So it's really a good kind of a community family. It's turned into a family. Mm-hmm. It really is a good family event.
Now, Richard, you hinted at earlier that media has got to be a focus for anybody, you know, sponsoring a big ride like this and, of course, attracting sponsors. If you were talking to somebody in Southern California who had aspirations to do something like this, what would be the 2 or 3 pieces of advice you might have for somebody getting started?
I think you want to identify the people in your community that are bicyclists, particularly leaders in the community. That means, you know, organizations that have they all have presidents or CEOs. Look for those people. Start there. If you don't know them, you must find a friend that knows them. Don't just walk into them. You'll never get to see them.
Right.
You know, so find someone that knows them, and you have a thing bicycling in common. I mean, that's the easiest thing, regardless of what your educational level is or what your occupational position. You're on a bicycle. doesn't make a difference who you are. You're both still dealing with the same elements. So there's a commonality there between you. So start there. Go to your university, you know, and there are people there. My gosh, you know, like the, I was telling you about the error to the Campbell Soup fortune. He's a bicyclist. And usually it's people that are doing bicycling. And if there are, if they are in a positive way of life where they have an economic income, where they can, delegate some money towards your goal, they probably will. You just got to get to meet them. Like I tell everybody, your gold mine is in your database. Whatever you're doing, it's in your database. So try to identify those people. And when I identify those people, I mean, I go in sincerely say, like, I really need your help. We're not going to do anything with bicycling unless you help me, give me some money. And usually will. You have to make your case. So first thing is identifying those people in the community that are bicyclists at levels to where they have an influence over the community. That's number one. Number two is go to your media. Let the media know what you want. Identify your different forms of media. Of course, today, something new that I'm dealing with is the social, what do they call it? Social media through the network. And so that's so new and still trying to figure out how to do that. But I think we all are still trying to figure out, but it's becoming more and more popular. You know, the social media connections is really important. Go and make alliances with people. Like sometimes they don't have to give you money, but if you just make an agreement with them, say, look, promote us just through your website. Get out to more and more people. I mean, I have a partnership, a network where I make an agreement like with Citi or with Wells Fargo or with our title sponsor like UMC. We'll give you something to promote, a news release. Send it out. They have a much bigger database than us.
Oh, sure.
Work with your city, your county. It's benefit. They are the prime benefactors, the city and the county. They get more out of this than anyone else. El Tour de Tucson is recognized all over the world. Do you know how much you would have to pay for that in a professional capacity to get your name promoted like that? It's being promoted all over the world. Get them involved. Of course, cities and counties are broke, but they still have a network set up. You know, if you're not going to give us money, give us attention on your website. Tell everybody about our cycling event that we have. Promote people to volunteer to come ride and all. So those, that's the second thing. So your media connections and your network connections of people, that those are the two most important things. Thirdly, your cyclists. Get to every cycling related organization in your community, bicycle clubs, physical fitness centers, chiropractors, your sports media people. Start making connections there and have them help promote and all. And then start putting on your bicycling event. You know, bicycling events really change. I mean, this community has been recognized with so many different honors, and they recognize this because of bicycling. And you were at well, I call it Cyclovia. Of course, you call it I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Cyclovia.
I mean, I think that's a European. I think it's a European pronunciation. All these kind of events are important to your community. That's a great event that just happened this weekend, which you saw, attracted about 10,000 people, runners, walkers, bicyclists.
They brought me from Newport Beach.
Yeah. And then we have the swap meet. We have a swap meet that it draws 7,000-8,000 people twice a year in April and also in November. These kind of events are important, you know. Then you have the Tucson Bicycle Classic, which is a pure race. Then you have the El Tour de Tucson, the Tour of the Tucson Mountains. We have the Greater Arizona Bicycling Association, which puts on so many events. They have an event every weekend.
So this is like bicycle nirvana here, isn't it?
Yeah. What you don't want to do is recreate the wheel. We go to them, and they provide a training service for us. Starting in August, they have training rides for El Tour de Tucson every weekend up until El Tour. They service hundreds of cyclists and teach them how to ride in a bicycling event. Then there's other groups like trisports.com. They're a great bicycling center here in the community. They provide training rides for the more experienced and also for the less experienced. Other shops like Fairwear Bicycle Shops, all of our shops are getting into bicycle training and education.
I like the idea of bicycle training. So, yeah, a 100-mile ride around Tucson, maybe I haven't done that yet. Training rides get me prepared for it. That would be just the thing.
Yeah. Okay, anyone can go out and do 100 miles. Maybe you'll finish it. Maybe you won't.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you want to finish it? Do you want to finish it comfortably, or do you want to finish it where you go to bed for the next 4 days and wait until aches and pains? So the training becomes real important in that sense. Yeah, the other program, and I love this program, that Pima County and the City of Tucson, they provide funding through grants to our organization to have an education program where when you get a ticket on a bicycle and you have to pay a fine, that fine will be eliminated if you come to an official bicycle education class that is conducted by our staff, and you come in and you go through a 4-hour training class, and it's also some training on the bicycle outside as well as the lecture classes where we teach you the bicycle laws.
That sounds great.
It's incredible. It's like the car diversion program. Yeah. You get a ticket in your car. Yeah, they won't report it to your insurance company if you go to a class. Same premises. Our classes are filled. We can't keep up with them. And you know what? We're getting people that are being ticketed, which is great. I'm so happy our police are ticketing because you're not going to learn your lesson unless you get a ticket. You know, as soon as they give me a speeding ticket, you won't catch me speeding for the next 6 or 7 or 8 years, But the same thing in bicycling. You know, people get away with going through stop signs, trying to beat the traffic signal. And that's where your accidents happen, when you try and beat a traffic signal and suddenly you're in the middle of traffic and coming all ways and you get hit by a car. But we teach them the right things that you need to do. Now, even all of us, you know, sometimes don't do the right thing, go through that stop sign on a bicycle or in a car. But when you get caught, you're going to think twice about that. So it's making more people aware of what are the rights and wrongs of bicycling that you normally wouldn't get to. I mean, we'll get to the bicycling population, but what about the non-bicycling population who use a bicycle maybe twice a week? You know, or who just have the bicycle, they jump on it and they run down to the store, but they go through the stop sign. Are they not bicycling in the bike lane, or they're bicycling against traffic, which is the worst thing to do?
Right.
You know, so you get to that non-bicycling population and we're educating. At least they became aware. That's more
so than that's it was a great before. Service that you're providing to the community.
Huh? Yeah, I feel very fortunate that they selected that's us to fantastic. Do that contract.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a great thing. You know, I remember Greg LeMond, when he first came to El Tour, what was really interesting is how people were attracted to him like a magnet. It was like a movie star. Well, I mean, people coming right and left. Greg, can I have your signature? Because he's such a wonderful guy. Greg is so accommodating. But I was so impressed. I never been anywhere else than Hollywood where people were so attracted to someone. I said, hey, Greg, is this like this everywhere you go? He said, well, not necessarily at an antique show. He said, for bicycling, yeah, but any place else, I'm just like another guy, Richard. And, you know, that taught me something. We need to get whatever idea we have into the non-world of what we're doing. You know, you're an entrepreneur. And if you're promoting a product, if you're selling a bicycle, of course, you need to get into the bicycle world. But imagine if you can get to the non-bicycling world. You want to introduce that product to them because that's where your bigger population is in the non aspect. So that's what I'm trying to do now is get into that non world, the world of that they don't pay attention to bicycling and they need to. Why? Because they're out there in cars. We don't want them to kill our cyclists. You know, the nice thing about this community over the years has developed into a bicycle oriented awareness community. Might not bicycle, but I'll bet you'll know someone that rides in the El Tour de Tucson or one of our cycling events.
Yeah, and right. Nobody has blown their horn at me this weekend.
Really?
Riding around town.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting.
People are used to seeing cyclists on the road.
Yeah. No, they are. Now, some people live in the community and say, this is the worst place in the world. But you know what I say to them? Go over to Los Angeles and ride.
Yeah,
go up to Phoenix and ride. And then say that. You know, in some senses, we are bad, but in most senses, we are good. We're well ahead of areas. Portland is too, Davis and Boulder, because they've taken this concept, the city and the county adopted it and started to promote it. They also did it because they see it's a money-making situation. Mm-hmm. When you can show anyone, particularly a city and a county, you can make money from this, then, and you show them that you do, then their interest is there. And that's what you just need to do. I mean, you're a businessman and you can do that. And so basically that's what we've done. Did I know what I was doing all the time? No, but I think I spoke from the heart and I felt that this was important for the health of it, even if it wasn't for the economic aspect. But wellness has become many different forms. It's translated into education. It's translated into economic development. It's translated into media promotion. And of course, the health aspect of it. People are going to stay alive longer just by using bicycling as a means to staying healthy. And that's where I see myself. I don't see myself as a bicyclist, but I see myself as a catalyst and a teacher on, with all the experience that I have now. Is this how we can do it? I don't have all the answers. I definitely don't. I'm criticized every day for things that I do. And I say, well, look, guys, it's just the only way I know how to do it. And this is the way experience has shown us. Let's just do it until show me something different. Just show me something different. You know, most things I tried, but I'm still open.
Richard, you must be very proud. A lot of satisfaction. A life's work here.
Well, I don't know. I never think about that. I just keep going, you know. Every once in a while, I'll stand back. Like El Tour Day, I get all choked up because 29 years of your life in this, and you've seen some people come and go, the ones that have passed on, like Rose Stewart, the oldest woman triathlete at 84 years of age, who was beautiful in every way. You know, dealt with everything from arthritis, heart conditions, cancer. She had everything. She was always positive, Rose. And so I see her at the start line. And some volunteers like Mrs. Sibley from Los Angeles, who used to come out all the time from a nice neighborhood to Beverly Hills, Westwood area, in her mink coat and stand there and fold 5,000 t-shirts for all the cyclists. Yeah, so those are the things. The Reese Waltons, who was the head of the Torrance School District in California, moved here, fell in love with cycling. At 80 years of age, biked our 252-mile event in 23 hours. That's the satisfaction, you know, and that comes to me at the start lines all the time. Of course, I get choked up and think about those people, and they're still there. I can see them waving and still being part of the cycling world. That's the accomplishment. And I think the biggest thing is I love seeing those people come across the finish line and go, I can't believe I just did 100 miles. It really is like the enthusiasm of the first place person. And that's why I'm in it. Just to show people you can do whatever you want to do. There's no limits in life. You just set your mind to it. You'll get it done.
Richard, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for coming and visiting us. It's always a pleasure to...
Delighted to meet you.
Oh, well, great. And I hope we'll start a long friendship in both professional work and personal life. So you're always welcome. Thank you.
Okay, we're back in the studio. And once again, time to say thank you to BikeTiresDirect.com. That's Lou Doctor's company. Lou, a guest on the show a couple of months ago now. Lou and I think we've only known each other 25 years, maybe. I think so, Lou. 20, at least. He's done the El Tour de Tucson before. I never have, so I sent him an email. Would he do it with me? Yes, he will. So, El Tour de Tucson, it's Saturday, November 19th in Tucson, Arizona. A beautiful time of year. A ride I can't wait to do. Huh? Will I do the 79 mile or the full 109? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just a tad nervous. I wish I lived in Tucson and I could train. Maybe I'll have to head out there early and do some training work. Huh? Hey, I'd like to say thank you to the man who put this together for me. You know, I was in Tucson. I had two reasons to visit. One was the Southwest Regional Angel Conference, a group of angel investors gather once a year in Tucson. Curtis Gunn, he's the president of the Desert Angels. He's also a former professional cyclist. And we did Ciclovia Tucson together. Of course, he knows my interest in doing these interviews, so it took just a couple of... He pulled a few strings for me, and the next thing you know, I'm communicating with Richard. So a big thank you to Curtis Gunn for helping me meet Richard. You enjoy the show? Come to the website, cdmcyclist.com. Leave a comment behind. I'd love to hear from you. probably most important, tell a friend, huh? Thanks so much for listening, and good night.